Thank you so much. And welcome to another show of Council Connections, where we join you once a month, bring in some community groups telling their stories and service providers about community programs as well. And we've got a really exciting show today, actually. We've got Suresh and Jack, who Suresh is a facilitator and Jack is a mentor with the Peaceful Warriors program at Anglicare, which has been running for many years. And they come to here to tell their stories about how they're involved and what is a peaceful warrior in these days, and particularly how they've been adaptive throughout COVID-19 with the program as well. So welcome, Suresh.
Thank you, Michael. Very, very nice to be here. And yes, I'm really glad to be able to talk about the Peaceful Warriors program. It's a really exciting program. It's a group-based mentoring program where volunteer mentors from the community spend time on a weekly basis for a couple of hours on a Tuesday night to spend time with boys and young boys. And we have two age ranges for the boys. They range from 9 to 12 year olds, then 13 to 16 years old. And it's group-based mentoring. We guide. It's also an adventure-based program. So we guide the boys for the term through a variety of concepts. We'll sit around in a circle together, discuss a variety of topics like friendships, relationships, and on what healthy masculinity can look like, and moving from being a man, being a boy to a man. And we'll play high energy adventure games with them as well. And that program includes a 3-day camp, which we have been running, but not during the COVID times.
Yeah, it's an amazing program and something that's so, you know, so deserving of getting your story told, because I think it's hard sometimes for young boys to know, you know, what it is to be a man, and having some mentors there to support them and have those really deep and meaningful conversations is so valuable. But what's your journey? How did you get involved in Peace Warriors, and how are you involved in it?
Sure. So I'm the group facilitator, along with my wonderful colleague Damien, and we basically facilitate the program and train the mentors and be there for the boys and touch base with the boys if you sense that they're going, dealing with some stuff within themselves, be the contact point for the parents and get the referrals. But yeah, my journey, I've been with Anglicare for 3 years now. And look, I think growing up, you talked about how it can be challenging for boys going into men and receiving some of those social conditions or messages about what it is to be a boy. So I think I was very much in that as well, and kind of taking on some of the unhelpful aspects of masculinity. And so when I was able to be part of this program, it was really something very valuable and close to my heart, to be able to impact boys and men in a positive way like this. Mm-hmm. So, and also, you know, be aware of me growing from a boy to a man and how that impacted me. So being able to offer a positive alternative with a whole lot of mentors, offering variety of healthy masculinity to the boys and giving them their time and energy, I think is something really valuable for the boys to absorb at that young age.
Yeah. So you said it happens on a Tuesday evenings. Tell us, it's a Tuesday evening, where are we, what time is it, and what's happening?
Yeah. So, yeah, the program's been running for 19 years, so we're coming to our 20th year. And we've primarily been running it on a Tuesday evening. We tend to run it, the time can vary, it could be 6:30 or 7 on for a couple of hours. And we generally tend to run it in the Lilydale area. Mm-hmm. But we also move, depending on if we run a school-based program or if you can get certain boys certain areas, we tend to vary along the Yarra Valley area as well. But largely on Lilydale, and for anyone wanting to be involved, those are the hours on a Tuesday night for a couple of hours around 6:37.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're there gathering in the evenings with the boys, and you had two age groups there. So you got sort of young, early teenagers, and sort of those young men, really emerging to young men.
That's right.
And I mean, you must have some amazing conversations, because it's, I guess, for women, you know, traditionally would be more likely to gather and have chats to their friends and their mothers or aunties and have really talk about their feelings and talk about what they're going through. But for young boys and for men, that's sometimes not as common. And so it's really important to have these programs where you have that space for, I guess, it's your role is to facilitate those conversations around what's happening in your life and those big questions.
Yeah.
So over your 3 years, what have you seen as sort of, you know, really interesting topics, or is there things, have you seen any changes or things that are consistent around what's important to young boys and young men?
Yeah, I mean, so you kind of very much spot on what the program aims to facilitate is discussions on these things. So we'll have a discussion on feelings and we'll identify the variety of feelings we have and how we can explore this. And I guess one of the objectives of the program is to move boys away from the prospect of a bit of social isolation, and more towards building connections within their peers and other people. And I think the program helps towards that. I think a lot of in-depth conversation happens in the three-day camp that we run. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful setting where you can have a campfire in the night and the group is sitting around there after dinner and just yarning away, talking about things. And some of the stories can come out and boys can let their guard down more because they're out in the element of adventure and nature there mm-hmm. as well. I think the program offers kind of wonderful teaching moments. So in terms of some of the discussions that I've had, look, I think what I gravitate towards other teaching moments. So, for example, we had one boy bring one of his teddy bears to camp, and as could be expected, the other boy started having a go at him because they saw it as a bit of a unmanly thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so the mentors naturally gathered around that and talked about how the mentors used to have teddy bears, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we also started breaking down some of the gender roles, because I believe this boy was carrying a teddy bear which probably had more of a feminine angle, and that was a good opportunity for the other boys to be aware that maybe what they're doing is not necessarily that cool. And after about 10 minutes they stopped it. So I think it's those opportunities to talk about things. Another thing that's quite dear to me is how I hear quite a lot of boys say that's gay as a put down. And I'm aware of how a boy who may be questioning his sexuality or being aware of it could start to see that gay is something negative. And that, so questioning those things, when I hear a boy say that's gay about something, you know, I have gay friends and that's all, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, and et cetera. And so planting that seed is what a lot of the conversations I have with the boys in the program.
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good, interesting point there around that sort of about gender and about being a man and seeing things as not manly. And I think it's really important in our conversation now, particularly currently the 16 days of activism. So this campaign, that's internationally UN recognised around prevention of violence against women. And guess what the role of healthy masculinity, or what does it be to be a man? I guess this conversation you're having right now is in equity and how important that is in regards to preventing violence against women and building strong relationships. It's really back down to those, really having strong relationships with yourself and with your mates, but also with the women in your lives as well.
Because at the end of the day, it's not only other people that are affected. I believe the boys and the men are affected by not instilling some of those healthy masculinities in them. So for a boy to be able to catch on to some of what healthy masculinity is like, not only affects their future life, their future families, but their future happiness as well, potential for that. So I think it's really significant.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess we might have people listening now who are parents, who are uncles or aunties, or who maybe, you know, have young men in their lives that they might look up to them. And so as a facilitator, I guess, in these workshops and people where you think boys are opening up to you and talking about these really important issues, do you have any advice around how, if you've got a young man in your life that you want to support and help them talk about their feelings and talk about their issues, is there any support or any advice you have for somebody out there who's listening now? How do you support a young man or a young boy to open up and talk about their feelings?
I guess probably the biggest thing is time. Given the value of time, and so if you look at the program itself, we spend 2 hours a week with the boys for a term. And that just, seeing a boy regularly gives them the capacity to kind of open up a bit more and be willing to talk about things. And I guess not rush into conversations. Something we get, you know, taught in youth work is the capacity to just not be able to, not necessarily be that confrontative. And it's great if boys can just be not necessarily looking towards each other, towards mm-hmm. our company and talking, but we could just be going for a drive and that makes the conversation run smoother. And also maybe being able to listen to the boy and get some of his story out, his perspective. So asking questions like, I noticed you did that. What do you think? What do you think was going on for you there? Like, you know, I noticed your behavior was a bit off there. Or the value of empathy, empathizing just offers so much more. I remember when I was a boy your age, I really struggled with, you know, people feeling, you know, people putting me down or calling me names. And I get that is a challenging thing. And yeah, just opening up those avenues for conversations to happen and for the boys to be able to express themselves and get some of their inner journey out, I think is really valuable.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think it's great advice about just being open, listening, letting them speak into that space. And I think you said like that face-to-face sometimes is very confronting. So going for a bike ride, going for a walk, you know, doing something side-by-side, and that visual, very visual, you're in this journey together, in this conversation together. It can be quite powerful as well. Mm. And I guess that brings back to the Peaceful Warriors. It's a very interesting name for a program. And so what's your take on that name? What does Peaceful Warriors mean for you as a facilitator in the program?
All right, great question. I've never had this question asked to me. I see it as, you know, the program promotes a peaceful way of being content within ourselves, but also having a strong mindset about, you know, being aware of what you want in life or who you are as a person and how you want to be as a person with other people. And so I guess the warrior part of it comes in that it's a bit like being the Zen warrior, being knowing what's in your mind and who you want to be and being willing to take the challenging steps that can be to confront some of our fears and go about enacting on the vision we want in our life and, you know, within ourselves. So that's my take on it.
Yeah.
The program used to have another name because it used to be a two-step program. And it, so one was Peaceful Warriors and one was Boys Will Be Men, which mm-hmm. is another cool name as well. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Good band too. Okay. and you said it's been 20 years now the program's been running, which is amazing to think of the young men and the volunteer and the facilitators, but also the mentors that have been coming through the program for that many years. And I guess there must be potentially some young boys who are participating who have continued being involved as the mentors.
Yeah, very much so. And so next year will be our 20th year. The program started in 2001, so we're looking forward to that. We've had boys as part of the other program, the Boys Will Be Men program. We used to have boys go through the program and become, eventually some boys became peer mentors and mentors after they turned 18. And that was a great asset to the program, to see boys who come through the program give back to some of the other boys coming through the program. And so, yeah, definitely we've had mentors who've kind of talked to us as young adults, you know, in their 20s, talk about, you know, when I was 12 years old and this is the memories. I remember doing this, throwing marshmallows into the fire when you told us not to, etc. And so it brings a great perspective in and a community angle. But also I think it speaks to the value of the program that some of these boys have turned into mentors and are giving back and see the value in giving back to other boys coming through.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I guess your background in youth work would be aware of that, but that consistency of, you know, having a program run for 20 years where it's not something that comes in and is gone the next year or something around for 2 years. But that consistency must be so important for the young boys to be able to know that this program is there and I can be part of it for a while and until I'm ready to move on. So having that, you know, that the stability and, you know, being that rock of the mountain in their lives to make sure that every Tuesday that this is something I can go to and it's always there for me.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
And I guess this has been a really challenging year as well, because obviously your program only meets on face to face, and you do these camps, and you're gathering together and sharing food, and you know all these things that up until very recently you couldn't do this year. You couldn't be gathering, and you couldn't be having camps. So, how did you? What was 2020 like, or how is it different to previous years? And what was it like for the boys and their mentors?
So it's been challenging, but also a fulfilling year because we had to think creatively. And you're right, our program is in-person, adventure-based, and that's our staple and way of operating. So when we have to think about not doing that during COVID times or previous COVID times, we had to basically run groups online. And so we ran groups for young people, the younger group in a school format in terms of so through contacts through our local schools. And that kind of worked well because it can be hard to engage young boys in an online forum, but we were getting numbers coming through and boys were coming regularly through. So what we would do there is reduce our sessions, run for an hour, and we would talk briefly about one of the concepts of the themes that we do run for the program, but then have a fun game that we could play throughout. And so the boys look forward to it. And that was really useful. And then we would also create videos of the three of us. There are three people involved in the program, Steve, Damien, and myself. And so we would create videos of ourselves interacting with that and post that off to the boys as a fun way of getting them to do activities and challenges in nature or within themselves or within the house. And, yeah, sending out emails as well. So things like that. We just had to adapt. And so that's just part of the fulfilling aspect of it, because it's fulfilling to take something that's been our staple and change it around and see how we could do and still engage boys and communicate some of these messages that we would love for boys to pick up as seeds into their future.
Yeah. I guess people are aware of that, you know, being through COVID-19 restrictions, that young people have been really impacted quite largely within their life and in capacity and like in a school. And what have you seen the impacts of young men you work with through this year, and is there any sort of signs of great resilience or of things that you'd love to celebrate in for them this year?
I guess we've seen some boys who struggled with the new change in school environment and school learning, and also some of the tension that can build up in the home. And we would pick up on that. We would give them calls regularly, weekly or fortnightly, just to touch base with them and give them that extra avenue of time and opportunity to share some of their inner journey. In terms of resilience, it's about, I imagine a lot of it is the boys being willing to come to the group and wanting to be part of that community, even if it's for a short 1 hour session, but having that to look forward to at the end of the day. And going away with some of the happy memories we created in that, there's this online game we played called Scriblio. It's a drawing game where it's a bit like online Pictionary, but in a group format. And the boys would really look forward to that and be able to engage with that. And, playing it with our cameras and mics on, it's interesting. It creates memories in a different way. So I think when boys were not feeling that great, giving them the space to just be themselves and have some quiet time and not having pressure to answer questions, and which there never is, but and so the boys are more willing to come back and I guess indirectly gain something that that the program offers through that way.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Now you've sent through a few song requests today, and so you've got one song coming up next we'll listen to that I'd love you to introduce, and as the after song we'll be introducing Jack, who's a mentor of the program as well. So look, great to hear the history and your experience. But yeah, please tell us a bit about this song that you've requested for today.
Right. So this song's called The Dad's Song, and it's by the Funky Monkey Family. And I'd like to give a shout out to the people involved in this song, which are Chris and Ruben, and the children involved are Elora, Jazzy, and Orlando. And yeah, I guess this is a bit of a fun song, and I just love to reflect on the important role that dads play in kids' lives in a nurturing, nourishing way.
Thanks, Michael. Beautiful. Well, enjoy the song, and we will be back after the song with Jake and Stress from Anglicare's Peaceful Warriors program.
Is a little bit rough. You walk in the door and get slapped in the face. You get peed on, pooed on, and you do 1,000 things
that they just don't appreciate.
They say, pick me up.
Pick me up.
Put me down.
Put me down.
Come on, Daddy, just one more time.
Spin me around.
But you know what? I actually love it.
It's not bad being a dad. My kids are the best thing I've ever had. You gotta be a little bit mad to be a dad.
But I'm the coolest dad you've ever had.
He's the coolest dad you've ever had.
Life's great when you're smiling back at me. Hey, look out the back, kids. I built you a brand new cubby.
If you break it,
Dad,
I'll fix it. If you make it, I'll take it and frame it. Working together, no matter the weather.
What could be better? It's
not bad being a dad. My kids are the best thing I've ever had. You gotta be a little bit mad to be a dad.
But I'm the coolest dad you've ever had.
He's the coolest dad you've ever had.
If you want a puppy, I'll get a puppy just for you.
Puppy!
And I'll probably be the one to have to feed it to. But who are they gonna call on to clean up all the poo? You know who. That's how much I love you.
He's the coolest dad you've ever had.
Just the other day, I bought a washing machine.
Cool, Dad.
To keep all the family socks and undies clean. But sometimes socks go missing, and they're nowhere to be seen.
Dad, where are my socks?
You know what I tell them? It's magic.
Cool.
He's the coolest dad you've ever had.
Sometimes I feel chained up to responsibility. A slave to the grind with no time to be me. Now I know I make it so I can escape it. I choose to be.
Gotta be a little bit mad to be dad.
My kids, they're the best thing I ever had.
They're the best thing I ever had. They're the best thing I ever had. They're the best thing I ever had.
Thanks, Dad. You're the best dad ever.
Been just been really good at engaging with the young people and, just love his work. So, Jack, hi.
Spoil me, sir. Good afternoon. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much, Jack. And I see people like you are listening to the radio where we are actually all doing this remotely. So we're all on our laptops. And Jack is a hugely committed guest. He's actually joining us from Bayswater Bunnings at work. He's in the playground. So yeah. You've got a visual of Jack. If you've ever been to Bayswater Bunnings, he's sitting with a playground in his background. So,
one of the red tunnels currently.
In the tunnel, there you go. So that's where we've got a great little sound effect going on. So thank you so much, Jack, for being here today.
No worries at all. I'm very happy to be here. So my experience of a mentor, interestingly, my story doesn't really start with me. It starts with my dad. Through a friend we made at a local footy club, he became part of Anglicare a little while back, probably about 10, 12 years ago now. But he really enjoyed his time with the Peaceful Warriors and also became close with one of the boys from those groups who I also became friends with just because he was spending a lot of time. Pretty much every second Thursday we'd go and get pizza together just because there was such a strong bond there. So that kind of went on for some time and I got to kind of see firsthand the kind of the benefits of the program, I guess. Because at the first time when I met this boy, his name was Charlie. He was kind of shy. He was, you know, kind of a bit awkward around people. But at the end, you just, it's the same with the boys in the program too. They just open up. There's these little moments that kind of shine through and just makes everything worth it. With my dad, time kind of went on. And around that time in history, there was a lot of uncertainty whether the program could keep running due to some circumstances. When it did start up again, that was about when I joined, because of how I saw my dad go through it and just how happy it made him doing the work. So reached out towards Damo and Suresh and then became involved that way.
Yeah, amazing. So I asked Suresh what does Peace for Warriors mean to him, but as a mentor and as you seeing your dad now being, you know, in the program, what does it Peace for Warriors mean to you?
Yeah, so there's actually, there's a common adage with all of the mentors that we commonly say in some of the brightest moments that when it does come down to the boys, you always get a lot more out of the experience than what you put into it, which is completely true. It's amazing to see some of the young boys really kind of come out of their shells and start having fun. And it's those little moments that just, it's so incredible to see these really locked off children just begin to come alive, I guess, and show their personality and have wants and likes and hobbies and positive experiences. And they're always the things that you remember when you think about being a mentor.
Yeah, it sounds like you'd be an incredible mentor, being able to build those relationships and the trust with those young boys and young men as well. And
I, so, I have to say that, I mentioned before that Jack's really good at, he's got an extensive general knowledge base, but also he's got YouTube base and music and bands and TV shows, movies, and so he's become like the guru with the young people, and also with the mentors. We tend to, if there's anything in culture that we're talking about with the young people, Jack's the person.
Very, very kind of you to say. Yeah, and the unofficial pop culture consultant, I guess.
And so, Jack, let's say, I said to Suresh before, as people who are listening here who might be parents or uncles or a neighbour or have somebody, a young boy or young man in their life they look up, who looks up to them. And do you have any advice, you know, use your role as a mentor and I guess, you know, seeing your dad go through the program as well as a mentor. Yeah. Do you have any advice for somebody in that position where they have a young boy looking up to them in their lives and how they can build a relationship with them or how they can support that young person to build their own relationship with themselves?
Absolutely. Suresh had mentioned time before, which I think is absolutely imperative for that kind of thing. But in my experience, I've had a lot of success kind of relating and taking interest in their interests as well. Because what it won't like magically make everything kind of work at the get-go, but what it does, it kind of establishes this common ground or this safe space for which you are okay to share things in. And it really just kind of builds that trust up with the boys and it can create a really memorable relationship with them where they might feel comfortable sharing or offloading little bits and pieces to you. And yeah, I think that's probably the most effective thing apart from time, just building that trust and that safe space to have cool and positive discussion. And
yeah, fantastic. And you said like before, like as a mentor, you get more out of it than you put in, which I think it sounds so true. And I guess like talking to you and Suresh, that the people you are and the big hearts you have to be able to, you know, volunteer and work in this area and really support young people. In your past 3 years, is there a highlight for you? Or is there anything that's a shining moment that really like that you reflect back on that was a really special moment and looking for, you know, more of those in the future?
Yeah, for sure. I always come back to this one. So there was this, I won't say his name, but he was one of the younger boys. He was definitely the youngest one in that group, probably about 8 or 9, I think. And he had an incredibly wild imagination. He was super into Lego Ninjago, which is like a ninja kind of TV show thing that happens. I was super into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and just a few other things of Power Rangers. And so he would just kind of like zip about the room. He had quite a short attention span, just dancing around, pretending he was fighting some imaginary evil. And he could potentially sometimes be slightly disruptive because of that, because that's kind of what he would be wanting to do at that time. Mm-hmm. Then all kind of took, because I'm a big child, really, was just to, you know, kind of go up to him and pretend to be the bad guy in the Power Rangers, pretend to be the guy fighting him with a sword. And that kind of developed into this thing. And through that like kind of common base, he really started to open up and make some progress. And even though it was only a 10-week program, I really, really look back on that experience as the most positive thing that that I was lucky enough to be part of with the group. And all I just had to, you know, pretend to be a Zorkon minion or something.
It sounds like such an amazing story of stepping into a young person's world. Like, you physically, he had this world that he's imagining, and you stepped into that space and joined his world. It would have been so powerful, that young person, to be accepted and be embraced into, you know, and enjoying who he is.
Absolutely. He was a little sweetheart too, so it worked out really well.
Yeah. And as a mentor, what are the challenges as being a mentor?
Yeah, so due to the very nature of the work and kind of the context behind it, it can become quite challenging in some regards. There is really good training, and through Damo Suresh and Steve, there's a really good support network behind things that if you feel uncomfortable with, or something is happening that you don't necessarily believe you have the experience to deal with, there's always an avenue through that. With some of the boys, they can definitely experience a little bit of adversity in some of the groups, whether between their peers or maybe towards some of us, just because of their own experiences with various things. But as Suresh also said previously, these are less negative experiences and more opportunities for like teaching moments. And you can really break down someone in the middle of something, but just asking the question, you know, do you understand like why you're feeling this way? Like why did you make this action when you did this? And it can really kind of create this moment of reflection. Yeah, it can be challenging sometimes, but I think the reward that comes from the work is always worth the challenge. And especially seeing the results some of the boys do get out of the program, that's, you never remember the challenges. You just remember those shining moments.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm curious, because obviously as a mentor, you have these strong relationships with these young boys and young men. And obviously you're still not too old to forget what it's like to be their age as well. And yeah. What can you, do you see any similarities in their lives that you experienced? And do you see any differences, particularly, you know, in the last few years with social media and the internet sort of, you know, becoming part of people's lives on a, you know, on a minute basis instead of a daily basis? Do you see any, what are the similarities from your childhood or your experience to these young boys? And is there anything that's changed?
Yeah, for sure. So I think in terms of attitude, with how the boys do approach certain things, I think that's always going to remain very similar. Mm-hmm. Just from an inexperienced point of view, they might approach something a bit tacitly or just a bit aggressively to make up for something, which is me as a child as well. I was a very, very emotional child in a few ways, so I can absolutely sympathize with that. But I think the biggest difference is always going to be the technology. I was addicted, and you know, for the most part still am, I was addicted to YouTube kind of in my early teens to late teens. So a lot of the culture around that I can absolutely understand. But I didn't really get into social media until later. So when even some of the younger boys are coming up, you know, they're about 10, 11, and they're, you know, talking about their Instagram profiles and how many followers they have, and just their engagement with social media has increased so much that it can be somewhat difficult to really accurately think about just how much content they have access to just in the grander scope of social media. So I think that's definitely the biggest change. But in terms of the kids' attitudes towards everything, I think we've all experienced those emotions before. Yeah.
And so, look, I think Suresh mentioned before that they're looking to for more new mentors next year. So there's training coming up. So, Jack, do you have, what's your sales pitch for somebody who's considering, oh, that sounds like a cool program, I might like to volunteer. What is your sales pitch?
Put into an elevator, 1 minute to sell something. I think the best part about the program is always going to be seeing the boys shine. You know, they have a hobby that you'll be able to find out through and really see them excel at. Just watching them kind of come out of their shell is the most rewarding part of the experience. Mm-hmm. And it can be difficult sometimes. There are difficult moments, but I cannot stress enough just those shining moments completely blow any negative parts out of the water.
Yeah, amazing. And Suresh, if people are considering they'd like to become a mentor or even just want to find out more, can you give a bit of details of what's involved and where can they find out more information?
Sure. So we have a 3-day training, which is 2 hours for each day. And that happens on a Tuesday night. And that's starting on 19th January next year. So if you are interested, you can, a couple of ways to contact us, peacefulwarriors@anglicarevic.org.au. That's peacefulwarriors@anglicarevic.org.au. Or you can contact us on 97356100, 97356100. And just to mention, like we've had mentors in the past from 18 years old to people in their early 70s. So if anyone's out there thinking that you need to be on the younger side to be a mentor, definitely that's not the case. It's about being willing to engage and get down to their level and spend time with the boy. That's the most important, that's the key.
Mm, fantastic. And like I said before, people might have a young person in their life that might want to be involved in regards to being a participant in this program. So if they want to find more information about, you know, referring or how does that work and how could somebody who's young, you know, young teenager be involved in this program?
So, yeah, we can take referrals from schools or from services or from parents themselves. So if you are interested, maybe tap into some of those contacts I gave or go on the webs online and search for Peaceful Warriors at Anglicare and something, you'll find more details about the program and how you can refer anyone to the program. But yeah, please, if you have a son or a brother that you think might be useful for the program that you think would gain something out of it, feel free to get in contact with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Suresh, for your time today. And thank you so much, Jack, as well, being so committed in your tunnel in the Bayswater Bunnings.
No worries. I'm kind of worried a few sounds have bled through, but it's very good to share the experience. So thank you for having us on.
Yeah, really, really appreciate it. And yeah, if you are considering to volunteer, please do it. Like in my past life, I've done some similar volunteering and it's been memories for life. It's been so rewarding. Like Jack said, you get more out of it than you give. And we know, you know, the memories for these young boys and the teenagers there, that those memories will last their lifetime as well and really be hugely impactful in a time that's really significant for them as well.
Thanks, Michael. And can I give a quick shout out to some of the mentors who've been part of the program? Just shout out to everyone who's been a mentor, but particularly I want to give a shout out to Tony, who's coming on his 20th year as a mentor in the program, which is mind-blowing, but absolutely fantastic. And he's just, the commitment he's shown to the program is great. So, just very much appreciative of what you've done, Tony. Thank you. And all the other mentors.
Absolutely.
Incredible. 20 years. So he's there from the start.
Yep.
He's the sage of your program there. look, thank you so much again. And yeah, please, if you want to find out more, just search on your browser, Peaceful Warriors Anglicare. It'll be up top of your search bar there and you'll be able to find some more information about volunteering referrals as well. And Yerrange has a great history of and culture of volunteerism too. So if you do still want to volunteer in other areas, please, you can search the Yerrange Council website for volunteering opportunities. Or Eastern Volunteers, if you want to contact them, they have a huge list of volunteer opportunities across the whole of the Shire. So, yeah, volunteering is an amazing experience in all its facets. So, particularly, you know, Christmas when people are Christmas parties and the lots of events happening as well now we can do. So, reach out and volunteer, or at your local radio station as well. on Yarra Valley FM. Thank you so much for your time today. We have a couple of songs to finish it off. Suresh, do you want to introduce those two songs that you shared this morning?
Sure. So I guess one of the songs is Growing Up by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And I like how this song talks about gender roles and Macklemore is talking about how he's parenting. And the other song is Cats in the Cradle by Ugly Kid Joe. And again, on parenting, but being aware of how spending time, the value of spending time and the influence it can have on our children. Thanks, Michael. Love your questions.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your listeners today. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. If you want to find out more or listen again, this will be a podcast in a couple weeks' time on Yarra Valley FM. And we'll see you again next year.